The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1.
All right, 51551 is the text number. My mother took my three-year-old daughter, says a text, out for a walk a few months ago. An inconsiderate couple had a large boxer dog off the lead, which came over and started jumping on my daughter, understandably frightening her. It says Rory in Donegal, my mother asked the owners to call their dog over, please, and ask them to keep it on a lead. They responded by shouting at my mother that she should be on a lead. So that's pretty disgusting. All right, now let's say hello to a nice person, though, and that's Sinead. Good morning, Sinead.
Good morning, Ryan.
It's nice to talk to you.
And you too. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's nice to be back. You are. You wrote us an email that explains your situation. Can we ask you what age group you are?
I'm 38.
And in your early 20s, you had an illness.
Yes.
Which was?
A brain tumour.
You removed that brain tumour.
Yes, it was non-cancerous and good. They removed it and, I recovered and all good.
Good. And since then, how has life been for you in terms of, life in the universe, working, relationships, all these sorts of things that we do?
Well, I suppose, after the first tumour, it wasn't cancerous. They removed it. I had a bit of recovery. And then I went on to travel. I spent 3 years abroad. I suppose I was hitting nearly 30, so I used the Australian visa because I think at the time I was going, you needed to use it before you were 30. So went to Australia, went to Thailand. So I did loads of stuff after they removed that tumour. And then I came home from travelling. I was away 3 years, came home from travelling and started a degree in UCD, kind of by distance. And then, unfortunately, in 2017, the tumour had reoccurred. And this time it wasn't as pleasant as the one before, so it was cancerous. And I had to have a lot of radiotherapy and a lot of chemotherapy, which I have done. So, yeah.
Okay. And where are you at in terms of the tumour, the cancer? What is the diagnosis or prognosis?
Yeah, so where am I at? Yeah. I'd like to know that myself as well, but I don't really know. So I suppose I've had the maximum amount of radiotherapy. I've had a bit of chemo. My next option is more chemo, and I just don't really want to go down that road. It was hard to do the radiotherapy the first time around. I had the maximum that you can have. I had a bit of chemo to go with that. Then I had some stable tumours for a while and I was doing good, and then I had bad tumours, and so it's rare, and it's basically not good. They can't give me a time length. I suppose they want me to have more chemo, and I don't want to do that. I don't have a partner. I don't have family.
Family?
Pardon?
You don't have family?
No, as in I don't have
You don't
kids
have kids and so on. I understand.
No, I do have. I have a great family.
Oh, God. No. Oh, God. Okay. But I suppose what's so striking about the email that you sent us was that you're curious about what?
Well, I went for lunch recently with somebody that I met.
Yeah.
And, we were just kind of chatting, and I was talking about, I suppose, being terminally ill and the dating scene. And I said, God, it's hard anyway as you get older, because most people are paired off, or, it's difficult, when you get into your 30s and you're trying to find a partner, or you want to find a partner. So this is what we were discussing. Mm-hmm. She was recently divorced, lovely woman, very attractive. And so this was the discussion. And she said to me, I know how you feel because I have MS. And I thought, God, this is not something that people discuss. People are afraid of talking about death. And then as well, I suppose it really changes things.
Of course, it does. You at the start of your treatment, you met a guy, you were queuing for a gig, and you met a guy and you went on a date. Is that right?
Yes. And yeah. I think we went on one or two dates.
Oh, good. But in the course of time, what was happening?
Well, I mean, I lost my hair, and then I think. So I had met him, I think, with hair, and then quickly lost my hair. And I think the next time I was meeting him was the first day I got my wig. And, you know, I happened to be in, I think it was Raheny or somewhere, where I was by the sea, and I was thinking, oh, my God, I have my wig. You know, I wasn't secure with the wig yet. And, yeah, it was just awkward. And I'm sure it was awkward for him as well.
And, well, it could be awkward for some and others might handle it differently. How did he handle it?
You know, I suppose I was so caught up in what I was thinking that I probably wasn't thinking much about what he was thinking. You know, you kind of have this, verbal diarrhea in your own head and just you're so insecure about it. But I suppose it's just difficult. I mean, difficult for you as a person with the wig, and then difficult for the person who's sitting there with you.
Did you see him again?
I did see him again, and I think I was starting, or had I started treatment, I just wasn't feeling great at the time. So, I mean, I don't blame the guy for kind of going, oh, this is a bit too much for me.
I can imagine. And you know, that's why. But are you still interested, Sinead, in dating?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not dead yet.
No, of course that. I know that. But just when you talk about the treatments or being unwell, are you jaded or too wrecked, or do you just want to get on with your life?
No, well, I mean, it's not a priority to meet somebody, but I mean, I was away, I travelled for 3 years, and like some things are better shared. So
yeah.
I mean, I actually, if I don't meet somebody, that's absolutely fine. But I suppose it's a weird thing for somebody as well. Like, so if you meet somebody and they have a terminal illness, are you going to get involved with them?
Well, that is the question.
That is the question.
That is the question, Sinead. And here's another question for you. At what point do you tell the person that you meet, this is where you're at?
That is the question, Ryan. I mean, like, I think at the moment, I have chosen not to take any more chemotherapy because I was absolutely in bits. At the moment, I'm living a pretty normal life and I don't have the energy that I did have, but I mean, I have a lot to give. I think I'm a fun person to be with. It would be nice to travel the Atlantic Way on Ryan's recommendations. I don't know.
I'm just curious to know, like, if you did meet somebody and they said, yeah, and they really liked you and they just liked your personality, they liked who you were, they said, geez, I'd love to go on the Wide Atlantic Way with you. It sounded like great fun. We'd have a laugh. Do you say, okay, listen, that's great, but before we do anything else, there's something you need to know? Or do you just roll and let it come out in a more natural way? Do you have thoughts on that?
Well, that's the question, Ryan. I met somebody recently who said that they had, we were discussing this, they said they had MS. So we were like, what do you do? Like, I mean, I don't know how I would feel if I met somebody. And I suppose, you know, like, do you keep it to yourself until you think, okay, there's longevity here, I need to be honest with the person? Or, you know, it's a conundrum that I've never heard people speak about. I mean, people are not good about speaking about death.
Or illness generally, you know.
I love to joke about it, you know, but most people are not comfortable with you joking about it. You know, like, I'll say things like, I'm not dead yet, or, you know, I mean, and I think it's funny. Like, you know, you have to just get on with it. Like,
what if somebody fell in love with you?
Good for them.
knowing that, you know, there's possibly a finite nature to it all, and as it is with all of us, as we know, but that they'd be too sad or too upset for you, or them, or for you, plural.
Well, you see, that's the thing. Like, are you going to put somebody through that? Like, as well, for me, like, I'm thinking, yeah, I'd love to have somebody to, like, go on hikes with and walk the dog with.
But there's no putting somebody through it if it's love.
Yeah, but how, I mean, can you as a person get past that kind of barrier? Like, you know, when you meet somebody, like, do you keep it to yourself that you have a terminal illness? Or, you know, that's the question that I don't know the answer to.
That's why you wrote to us.
Pardon?
That's why you wrote to us.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
to say what?
It's just one of those questions.
Like, it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's such a conundrum.
For people to ponder, like, yeah. I mean, I actually, as a, like, if I was on the other side, I would ponder that as well. Like, yeah. You know, but I suppose just, like, it kind of, yeah, you're kind of wondering as, like, I mean, I'm doing well at the moment and I have a love for life and, you know, I want to do things and I feel motivated and I want to make the best out of whatever I have left.
Yeah.
But, you know, is there anyone out there that's going to want to take that challenge on board, you know?
There are, yeah, of course, there's always got to be a way. There's always going to be somebody who's right for you, you would hope.
Well, I don't believe in, like, Mr. Right. I believe in just, I suppose, a commonality and, you know, I just, yeah, and like there's so much, life has so much to offer and I suppose in getting sick now and not working, it has allowed me to do so many things and, like, I feel like it's given me the chance, like, I've so many insights now into life. I wish I could go back with the knowledge that I have now to live again and do all these different things, you know, and I suppose I just have a different look on life now to maybe your average Joe Soap. I mean, like, I would have been saving for a deposit for a house and just doing all those things that people in the rat race are doing. And now I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not saving. I'm spending that money. I'm wearing my nice perfume every day and get those dresses or get those clothes out of the wardrobe and just enjoy.
So you would do things differently if you could. You'd go back and have, take the road that's marked fun rather than safe.
Well, not even fun, but just, I think it's slow living and just take the time. I mean, I hate the way the word mindfulness is bandied around, but, I mean, I spent time in Australia and I was in a Buddhist centre for 12 weeks and I suppose I was being taught about mindfulness before it arrived over here, but I suppose when it came here, it became very, very, I don't know what's the right word to use,
sure.
But people bandy it around like, oh, we need to be mindful. And but, I mean, if you delve into what mindfulness is, I mean, it's very poignant and it's very worthwhile. I mean, if you can find something, it might be hoovering, it might be, you know, like I'm doing a lot of craft now that I'm not working, and those kind of things are just amazing for the mind and being given the opportunity to do those things.
So where to from here, Sinead?
Well, I have been crafting away, and so
good.
I hope to go online. I'm not a techie, but I hope to go online, and I've been doing a bit of pyrography, so wood burning, and yeah, so my plan is to, yeah, try and, you know, get out there with my craft stuff and that, you know, and if I meet, I would like to meet somebody, but yeah, I don't know where that's going to happen, but yeah, not a priority. But
you're very eloquent and articulate in the way you've described and pose that question. So let us have a think about it all and ponder, to use your word, and think about it and see what people say. Stay tuned.
Okay. Well, can I just... I want to, like, give a recommendation to a book that I've read.
Sure.
Which I just... Yeah, I've told as many people as I can about it, but it's called The Wonder Box by Roman Kornaric, however you pronounce that.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes through, like, it's kind of little vignettes of how different things have developed over time. And, you know, it talks about love and it talks about time. And I found it very insightful about how we are trying now to find love, all of the different types of love, all in the one person. And it just goes into, like, how there is different types of love, and it's an insight into kind of understanding more about love and then time, how we've become slaves to time.
Well, that's a pressing issue. I'm going to pick that up as soon as I can and revert back to you. Sinead, thank you for your time today. We'll keep an eye on you.
Thank you,
Ryan. And thank you so much for getting in touch with us. Appreciate it.
Take care. Take care. No, bye.
Thank you so much. That's Sinead joining us. Sinead Carroll joining us on the phone there. Quite the conundrum. That's all I can say about that. But as the texts say, I think Sinead's clarity and courage are so impressive.